The gospel lesson is taken from Luke in the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 15. And this is the good news about Jesus. People brought babies to Jesus, hoping that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they shooed them off. Jesus called them back. "Let these little children alone. Don't get between them and me. These children are the kingdom's pride and joy. Remember this. Unless you accept God's kingdom with the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." One day, one of the local officials asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to deserve eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why are you calling me good? No one is good, only God. But you know the commandments, don't you? No illicit sex, no killing, no stealing, no lying. Honor your father and mother." And the man said, "Yes, I've kept all these commandments for as long as I can remember." When Jesus heard that, he said, "Then there's only one thing left for you to do. Sell all that you own and give it away to the poor. You will have riches in heaven. Then come, follow me." This was the last thing the official expected to hear. He was very rich and became terribly sad. He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to let them go. Seeing his reaction, Jesus said, "Do you have any idea how difficult it is for people who have it all to enter God's kingdom? I'd say it's easier to thread a camel through a needle's eye than get a rich person into God's kingdom." "Then who has any chance at all?" the disciples asked. "No chance at all," Jesus said. "If you think you can pull it off by yourself, every chance in the world if you trust God to do it." Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today. We thank you for our children today. We thank you for bringing us to this safe place today as we explore together. In Jesus' name, amen. So how good is good enough? Do you know how long churches have been using pews to sit in? You know, pieces of wood spread across there like that? Well, older than this church. In fact, in the United States, pews became very common, but they're also not uncommon in Europe. So you can pretty much see that people who have been worshiping in the Christian community called the church, the word church means those who are called together. Those who are called, those who hear a voice and God's voice, and they come together because they've heard the same voice. That people have been sitting in pews, you'd think we're getting pretty tired of sitting. People have been sitting in pews for 1,000 years. Imagine that, 1,000 years. You think we can improve on pews?
Yes.
There you go, there's a look right there. And that's why you want to come back on session, because you can improve that. Yeah, sure. Hey, anybody go to one of the new theaters that have like the really comfy seats? Yeah, you love those? Yes? Well, if you haven't, you know, they're very comfy, very plush. It's sort of like first class on an airplane. I don't know what that's like either, but I walk past them every time I get on a plane. But they're very comfy. A lot of times they swivel just perfect, like your favorite chair at home. Imagine that. Coming to church, just sort of getting your little recliner there and you'll have like a little cup holder for you to put your iced tea right there while you wait. And if you need help getting in, you know, it's very easy to get in and out. And you don't have to crawl over people, and 35 people have to stand up in order for you to go to the restroom in the middle. Imagine that. Well, you know what? People in churches, many of them have made these kind of seats possible. Probably nothing that fancy. But certainly we could do better than pews. But you know, somebody probably said, the pews are good enough. You know, not great. We put cushions on the pews. Some churches have cushions on the back of the pews. And there's other ways. In some churches that I've worked with, they've decided, and not in a historic church like this, but in other kinds of churches, they've removed the pews and they put in movable seating so that the room can be configured in a lot of different ways. So maybe on a Maundy Thursday service where maybe there's only 40 or 50 people there instead of maybe 70 or 80, you could rearrange the chairs differently for that kind of service. Or perhaps on special occasions, you could have Bible study groups that meet in the building. But we've pretty much decided that good enough is good enough. It's a little uncomfortable. We try to make the best of it. How many of us have cable at home? Yeah, we got cable. Everybody has cable. I doubt many of us probably have those rabbit ears anymore. All we do is get the local channels that way through the air. Anybody think cable's good enough?
No.
I don't know. If anything needs improving, the survey says people complain about their cable service and internet service more than any other household service. Anybody compare about the electric service? Well, you complain about the bills, but you don't usually say, gee, the power's a little low today. I can't get my toaster to come on. That electricity's a little fidgety today. No, it's always working. And how about the plumbing in your home? That's probably good enough. Now, if you don't pay your bill, the plumbing won't work. But if you pay your bill, it's all pretty modest, the plumbing works. But that cable bill, every time that bill comes, every time maybe your mobile telephone bill comes, you say, man, I hate paying this. Because a lot of times, good enough isn't good enough. That there's room for improvement. Well, Jesus met a person who didn't think there was any more room to get it even better in his life. He comes up to Jesus. And at least he was going to Jesus, right? This Explore God series means no matter what question you have about God, you might think it's kind of a silly question. Or you may say, well, I don't want anybody to know about that question because that'll just look bad. Or maybe you've just had a thoughtful question about God that you just constantly kind of think about. You just ponder it. Just it goes by month after month, year after year, just these questions about God. Maybe you've resolved, I'll finally ask him when I meet him. But this young man came to Jesus, and he said, I don't think my life is good enough. What is the one thing I am missing in my life that if I did it, then I could finally say, maybe like the pews, my life is good enough? And so Jesus looks at it. What a great question. Jesus looks at him and says, wow. Now Jesus knew who this was. Jesus, at least, even, of course, he was God in the flesh. He would have known this person. He would have known his background. He would have known his motivation. He would have known his history, his experiences. He would have known all these things about him, like he knows about you. Jesus knows what kind of questions you have. God knows what kind of things may keep you up at night. God knows the kind of things that you do and the amazing things that you sacrifice when you do it for other people. God knows the struggles that you have. And God knows, even if you think other people don't, God knows what things are areas that you want to improve and the things you want to do to do things better, that you look at your life and say, you know, all these things are pretty much good enough, but there's a couple areas of my life that I know I can improve. I want to do those things better. God knows about that. So maybe just like us, this young man came to Jesus and he says, you know what? So many things are good. I have so many blessings. We've been spared a lot of heartache. We've been spared storms. We've spared the suffering of many hundreds of families in Las Vegas. We've been spared the suffering of military battle and conflict that so many other parts of the world endure every day. So a lot of things are good. A lot of things are great. But what's one thing? If I did that, my life would be better. So Jesus looks at him He says, there's only one thing you lack. Go and sell all of your possessions and give the resources that you collect to the poor. And then he says, then you will have riches in heaven and you can come and follow me. Now we look at that and say, oh my gosh, boy, that's tough. Imagine giving away everything you had, give all that to the poor. Remember, this message was directed toward this young man who thought in his life everything was good enough. Jesus didn't argue with him about that. The man says, well, I've kept all the commandments, I treat my parents with respect, I honor relationships in my life. Jesus didn't argue with him. He didn't say, oh, well, what about last Tuesday? Or what about that time you had an argument with mom and dad and stormed out? Jesus didn't play the game with him. So it isn't whether he was good enough or not, but Jesus knew there was something that God asked him to do in his life. Something very special, something huge. And he reminded this man of that. He says, well, it seems to me there's only one thing, Ben, that you're still lacking. Perhaps this man had made a commitment to sell all his resources, all his stuff, and give the money to the poor. And he was wrestling with that decision. You know, God may not have called you to do that. This is not a universal appeal. Gee, are you going to give half all your money away and come and give all the money to the poor and come and follow Jesus? No, people do get that call. Now, you may be saying, goodness, that was not me. And maybe that's so. But you know, God has called you to do something. God has called you to do something. So when you stand before Jesus and you say, gosh, I'm just doing all these things in my life and it's not perfect. God's word is perfect. Jesus is perfect. God's relationship with us, he offers us everything. There's nothing that lacks. But maybe there's one thing, and it's different today than it was 4 months ago. It's different than it was when you were 25 or when you were 65. It's different for us depending on the time of our life. What if you were that person standing before God and saying, hey, God, you know, it's not perfect, but there's so many things that are good in my life. I'm kind of thinking most is good enough. But there's got to be one thing. There has to be not one thing for the rest of my life, but one thing right now, something. There's something that you want me to do. That if I would do that, I would have the freedom and the energy and the resources in order to go follow you. Because remember, Jesus asked everyone to follow him. He didn't say to the fishermen, give all your money to the poor and come and follow me. He said on that day, just, you know, hey, you got a minute? Why don't you just leave your nets there for a while and come and follow them? They went back to fishing. They didn't give up their livelihood. In fact, after Jesus rose from the dead, he finds them again fishing after his resurrection. You see, this call to this man, a lot of times it's called the rich young ruler, isn't a universal judgment on wealth. It's a universal judgment on being content with good enough. It's a judgment saying, maybe there's something in your life that God has empowered you to do, or if you would just make a few key decisions, you would be able to say yes to that thing that God wants you to do. And it's different for everyone. And so this rich young ruler walked away sad because he knew, gosh, nailed it. Boy, I tell you, that's the one thing I know that I really need to do. I'm not ready now. I can't do it now. And so the rich man walks away sad. Now, we don't know the end of that story. We don't know what kind of transformation may have occurred a month later. We don't know what happened to him 4 years later. It's just possible, isn't it, that God touched his heart, gave him courage, that this man had a second thought about that invitation, and finally, at one point in his life, decided to turn all of his resources over to someone else so he could be free to follow God in the way that he was called to do. In the spirit, say, of St. Francis of Assisi, who God called to give away all his earthly wealth, and he had some. And he gave away his earthly wealth in order to follow Jesus in his way. God's not calling you to give away all your earthly wealth. But God is calling you to do something. Because good enough isn't always good enough. That you're special and God has called you to do something. He wants you to do something. Coming to worship is one thing. But what is God calling you to do when you leave? So this week, we're considering, a lot of other churches in the Explore God series are considering, that what does God look at when he looks at our lives? Knowing that good enough isn't really good enough because God's standard is perfection. God only wants perfection. But God invites us to try our very best because Christ is the one who paid our price. Christ is the one that bought us back. Christ is the one, the Apostle Paul says, all these things I have in my life, I count as rubbish for the sake of knowing Christ and the call of Christ forward. Even though that is an imperfect call, even though we make mistakes and we miss opportunities, that our life is never over till it's over, that we're not victims to our past. The disciples asked Jesus. The disciples said, "Who has any chance at all?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know, when you have riches," he says, "it is difficult. In fact, it's just as difficult to thread a camel through a needle's eye than for a rich person to get into heaven." This is not like rich meaning resources and rich people can't get into heaven. It's those who cling too tightly to whatever resource you have. Whatever you cling to too tightly that might be keeping you from doing that one great thing in your life. All of us, God says, there's one thing you lack, something you're missing, something that if you have the courage, I'll help you do it. You can do it, and you'll be free. That bondage will drop. Maybe it's finances, but there's a million other things in our life that takes our attention. Sometimes fear takes our attention. Sometimes anxiety takes our attention. Sometimes our situation and circumstances can take our attention. And this is a freedom in these few weeks, especially as we look at God and God looks at us and says, "You know what? I know you're doing the very best you can. But maybe there's one more thing you can do. Maybe there's one more way to get involved in your neighborhood. Maybe there's one more neighbor you can call on. Maybe there's one more person that you can make a life, a better experience in their life if you would just pick up the phone. If you would just show up. Maybe there's work here at Cold Spring Church, this community of faith, to get involved in, to serve. Everybody can't be on session. Everybody can't serve on the deacons. Everybody can't help with the Presbyterian Women event that's coming up. Everybody can't. My goodness, Roseanne, what would you do if like 80 people showed up to help one day? We wouldn't know where to put all the stuff. I know, Roseanne, you're arguing with me right now in your head. But the point is, all of us are called to do something different. And so I don't know, how comfortable are the pews? Actually, I don't like my chair up here very much. It's getting a little rough to sit on up here. But maybe it's good enough. Maybe the pews are good enough. Maybe our organ is good enough. Maybe the chandelier isn't good enough. When I look at, like during prayer sometimes when I'm trying to focus on things, I look at the ball in the chandelier. And I think that after this restoration project is over, it's not going to look so fuzzy and blurry. That actually when I look at that ball, when you look at that ball, it's going to be crystal clear. And I'll be able to look at you up there. And all of you are going to be looking at me up there. But God has something for you to do. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too rich. And you're not too poor. You're not too smart. And you're not too naive. And you're not too stuck in your ways. And you're not too frivolous. That God wants all of us, like the rich young ruler would say, "What's that one thing you want me to do?" And God says, "You know, in Christ you have all things. Your sins have been forgiven. There's nothing you can do to come into my heaven. Nothing at all. As long as you're connected to Christ, you're in. But what's that one thing more that God wants you to do? He's done it all." Let's listen. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that this rich young man came to Jesus this day. And we're just like him. We often ask, what is that thing we can do? So many things are good. We're so grateful. You've blessed us in so many ways. But what is that one thing? Let's just pause for a moment. Take a moment just to hear God's voice. Amen. Thank you for taking that time today.